Let's look at who this great coming that Enoch prophesied. So did John in the book of Revelation 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the Lamb, Jesus, slain from the foundation, who is now the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is coming, and we are standing and watching and seeing our salvation approaching. And he is coming with the wrath of Almighty God. And he's going to tread the winepress of his fierceness against the wickedness and crush them. He will harvest them and throw them into the vat and crush these wicked, evil men on the earth, and their blood will run even up to the horses' bridles. This is our Lord. He is coming back in fierce fury. He's not coming back in gentleness and humility. Still, that door is open. I beg you, receive him and his blood atonement for forgiveness for your sins, or you will suffer his wrath and the fierceness of the winepress, that he will crush you. This rock will fall on you and pulverize you, and he will stand at the judgment in the last days, and you will stand condemned for your sins. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn from your wickedness and receive the Almighty Living God who has eternal life for you. Today is the day. Don't put it off. Don't harden your hearts. For hell is real and it goes on in eternity. Let's look at this in Isaiah 59. For salvation. So his name is salvation. Salvation came through the Jews. Yeshua means salvation. But it means Joshua. And he came, Joshua came as a deliverer physically. Jesus came as the ultimate deliverer from our flesh and from our sins. And he will come, and he is coming to redeem the earth and deliver it from the curse of Satan and sin and slavery. Our transgressions are multiplied before God, and our sins testify against us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. We have a conscience. We know that it is evil to kill, steal, and to lie. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, not only against those that God has ordained, but he that is the ordained from eternity, the one and only God. Conceiving and uttering from their hearts words of falsehood, they believe the lie. And they were deceived and dragged into the darkest places in hell. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, who? Him, God. And his own righteousness, it sustained him. Whose righteousness did it sustain him? He sent his son, Yeshua, our salvation. And his righteousness is imputed to us when we receive Jesus and we receive the fact that we are wicked sinners and there's none righteous before God, no, not one, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And his blood covers us. He's taken the place of our sins when we receive him. And he imparts his righteousness into us. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. Who is this speaking? Jesus. This is a Revelation 19 Jesus. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. This is in the natural. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. That would be the east. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgressions in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. Ah, these are the covenant people. Those who keep covenant. Those who put off, repent, put off and change their mind and their ways and their wickedness and unrighteousness and turn to keeping the covenant of God, the blood covenant that he paid for us and enables us to keep his righteousness, his commandments, his 10 commandments. This is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. There is only a short time left. Time is very, very short, even if we lived another 60 or 80 years for the earth. But it is not that. And the door will close, and God will not always strive with man. And there will be a time when men will seek to come to God, and they cannot because the door is closed. They missed their time. And these days are upon us, beloved. Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Now Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. My peace I live with you. There is an inner peace from the tribulation around us, but there is an external tribulation over the earth. That is happening now. And this great tribulation, the beginning of the world, no nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Okay, that's for those of us who God has chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. If any man should say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This is what is said in Isaiah 59, also in the prior clip of messages from the foot of the cross 5. All right, back to Matthew 24. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately, After the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. I believe it's the Jubilee trumpet at the end of Yom Kippur. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. It may not be that Jubilee trumpet, but at the sound of the last trump, the dead in Christ shall be raised. And we know that then the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of our Lord and God. And what does it mean? This sun, he as lightning comes. And there's carcasses. When you see all these signs, eagles are around carcasses. They're flesh feeders. And there's tribulation in those days. Acts 1:6, Jesus said, when they were therefore come together, and they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and on all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into the heaven. All right, we learned a lot of things out of this passage. We learn, first of all, that Jesus was taken into the interdimensional realm in heaven. He was raised up and he left. In this same way, he shall come back. Okay? You will see him. Every eye will see him and behold him. Now, regarding the times to restore again the kingdom to Israel, it wasn't for the disciples to know because that wasn't their portion. Their portion was to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is to birth the new church. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit after receiving Jesus and his forgiveness for sins on the cross, then we become vessels capable of containing the Holy Spirit. God is holy. He doesn't dwell in the midst of the defiled and the unholy. And they also had power to be witnesses into all the earth. They had power to keep the commandments of God. They had imputed righteousness. God, because Jesus shed his holy blood, then he could come and impart his righteousness. And the kingdom of Israel will be restored. It is clearly stated by the Lord himself before he left the earth. Praise his great name, Maranatha.